You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
One of my favorite and the worst is my entrance, because to be fair, I've got the costumes are incredible. I get to wear some really good costumes to the point that most of the time I'm just walking around, shuffling around the stage, which is lovely. But the entrance, I come up from the bottom of the stage and I'm walking along people's backs. And it's one of those times that I'm never going to have that in life. No one's ever going to lay their body on the floor for me to walk over. And though I really hate it, it does make me feel like a queen at that time. And I get to be really rude to Ramesses, who in real life I love, but it's great. It's great fun.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried a free trial yet, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode. And we'll be on our way with 7 days working with your own Broadway fitness coach via an app. If you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. That'd be greatly appreciated. And once again, special thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm, and you'll find a slew, a vast, an amazingly broad, bountiful amount of episodes there. I can't stress it enough. Like, if you want to find something Broadway or musical theater and it be a podcast, just head on over to bpn.fm. All right. Exciting episode. As always, we're super hype about this one. Joining us from the UK right now, some of her credits were in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, Carolina Change, coming up in The Prince of Egypt. Please welcome to the show, Tanisha L. Spring. Hi, Tanisha.
Hi, Joe.
so nice to be virtually chatting with you here in the States. Let's just get to know you a little bit. Let's go with, do you drink coffee?
I do. I'm trying not to, because I actually don't like the taste of coffee.
That's so funny you say that, because usually it's, I'm trying not to drink as much. And now you're saying I'm trying to. That's funny.
Well, I'm trying not to, because
I
don't actually like the taste of coffee. I only like, and I'm going to sound like a child when I say this, but I only really like it when it has syrups in it. I just like the effects it has.
Okay.
So I'm trying to not drink so much coffee and maybe just sleep more.
Got you. Besides being a performer and doing things like singing, dancing, or acting, what does Tanisha like to do?
What do I like to do? I like to eat.
yeah.
What's a favorite? At the moment, I have an obsession with this Japanese. I'm not sure if it's actual Japanese, but they sell ramen. It's called Bone Daddy's, so probably not that Japanese, but it's a restaurant over here. And at the moment, it's hitting the spot right now because it's really grey and rainy over here, as per usual. But it's just up the road, so it's great.
Okay.
Other than that, I like to sew a bit. Like, occasionally we'll sew an outfit if I can't find one.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
We'll get to the producing side of things as far as theater goes, but maybe you'll start making your own line someday. What do you think about that?
It has been a thought. and then producing took the first seat. So it might be the second or third.
Okay. If you do this, what would your company be called?
I've got a name. It's called Brick, just because it's simple and standard.
Yeah.
Simple statement, but flexible, that you can dress up or down.
Okay. I'm about it. I'm here for this. Okay. All right. Let's jump into, so everyone listening, Tanisha's a model, actress, producing now. Tell us a little bit about this streaming production of A Killer Party. Some of you listening should be familiar with it from the States. It was over here. And now Tanisha has her hand in the production that closes on May 30th. Tell us about that experience of first time producing.
I mean, it was amazing, to be fair, and something that I didn't expect to do so soon. When the theaters closed down over here, it did at the same time as yours did. And Jason Howland, I worked with on Beautiful when it transferred over here. And we've been very good friends over the years. And we were going for a mandatory walk, as you do in Corona, on the phone while he was in New York and I was over here in London. And he was saying how he wanted to create jobs for people because obviously the theatres were closed, and wanted to get creative and make something fun. And he had this idea of doing a musical murder mystery. And I just said, one day I want to produce something that you do, because that sounds amazing. And one day I want to produce something. And he was like, well, why don't you just do this? And I was like, okay, thinking he was kind of just being a good friend, but actually he gave me the rights to do it over here. And I teamed up with two amazing producers, and yeah, we launched into this remote filming of this musical and remote recording. And some of the people that we've cast and I've worked with on this project, I've never physically met, which is the strangest thing, but it a lot of logistics and hard work with this great team that we produced. And yeah, we've done it, which is fun.
What did you learn going into the project that you had no idea about? A couple of things, maybe.
In terms of producing?
Yeah, that you came into the production to produce and having no idea you were about to jump into this particular thing.
So one thing I knew, but it kind of reinforced it, is that I need to look at my phone probably more often and my emails. That was one of them, because I'm quite lax with that, as my friends will know.
Sorry to interrupt you, but that's amazing. Like, good for you. Like, that's usually the opposite problem, but good for you.
It really wasn't helpful.
Now that you're, you know, almost done with the production, I support you in that. Like, keep that up.
Thank you. What else? Just in terms of the logistics and, Katie Lipson she's a producer over here and she's incredible. I think she's done bits in the States as well, but she's so much about action and fast action, and the way she worked, I learned a great deal from her. And just generally the logistics of the whole piece, because it was my first time being on the other side of it. I have quite a business mind in terms of being a creative, but this was on a whole nother level. But yeah, it was a great experience, and I can't wait to do more and outreach even further. And yeah, I think it'd be really exciting.
I love that you just brought that up. I didn't know that maybe we'd go down this bunny trail, but how do you approach your career with that more business mindset? You know, I think that this is something that a lot of performers should go to school on, because I say that not literally go to a physical school. I'm just saying to learn about, because you are your own business. You are your own brand. So, you know, what could you shed some light on to our listeners about how you just approach your career as your business, as you should.
I think because I came into, especially theater, I came into theater really late. I had no intention of being a performer full time. I enjoyed singing, like with my sisters and things like that. But I was an accountant first, and then realized actually it wasn't for me, because I kept falling asleep in front of my computer, and it probably wasn't really helpful. So before I got fired, I left. and started going down this hole of learning to dance, which I did very late, and doing the things that I really enjoyed but was too frightened to do in front of people, because I watched my family for years work really hard for very little and for things that they didn't really want to do, but for us. And I've always had in my head that I wanted to do something that I really enjoyed. And this job can be the easiest job in the world and the hardest job in the world when it's something that's testing you, that it doesn't either morally sit with you, or it's just made hard because you're in a difficult team, and I never want somebody to take away my enjoyment of that. So it has to kind of be a business, and for not just for the love, because I don't want anything for me to do it for the love and then not eat for a million years. Mm. And then I lose the love for what I actually want to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give that power to somebody else. I want to keep that and keep enjoying everything that I do and keep challenging myself as well. I've been so lucky with the people that have given me chances, because I literally say it's a chance, because I'm going on a wing and a prayer in these auditions. But I do work really hard, and I've been very lucky to do some great things, and I keep on wanting to better myself, and every job I work on and every actor I learn from have been a great part of my experience. And I guess it's part of honouring that and keeping and making what I love put food on my table, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important for the longevity of someone's career, because in a couple of different ways, but if you approach it that way, most likely your mental peace will remain and be a lot more prevalent. And if you're at peace of mind, you're going to be more prone to giving your best and being at your best.
Yeah.
Where if you're walking around, you know, jaded or feeling like you're, I don't know, being
harder.
Taken. And not only does it affect your psyche, but it affects your performance and how you do in a room as far as auditions or on the stage.
It's so true.
You go in.
I'm sorry, carry on.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
And so many performers, especially, I've been lucky enough to work with some great ones, and they literally sell their souls on that stage and they leave everything behind. And to do that and not feel good at the end of the day for doing that, that's got to have like a mental toll.
Yeah.
I think learning to say no is really beneficial in this business. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a diva about it. It's just knowing why you came into this business, I think, makes it easier.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You said every time you go into an audition, it's a chance, or anytime someone casts you, they give you the chance, and that you go into the room, I think you said a wing and a prayer. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of sounds like to me that I have to assume you're confident when you're walking into the room, but you have this, what's your mental side or your mental approach when you walk into an audition room? I like to talk about this kind of stuff on the podcast just because theater, fitness, life, whatever, mm-hmm. It's one big mental game. It starts in the mind. So I love to hear your approach when you're walking into a room.
I mean, I can't even say I'm that confident, but mentioning fitness, I think the body is incredible, and I've always been interested in how far we can push ourselves, because there's always that day where actually we couldn't, for example, lift a weight or do a certain exercise. And then you try it 2 days later or something and you're closer and you surprise yourself. And I think that's the opportunity that you have with every job and in this business, is that you can surprise yourself. Like, I don't think there's certain things that people have asked me in auditions to, in something that, can you do this? And I don't know if I can do this, but I can try. And I've surprised myself because I've gone and tried. And I think, to be fair, I've done that with this in theatre. I've done that with this production because I didn't know how to produce, but I knew what I wanted to do. So yeah, I think it is a lot about your mentality and kind of your commitment and just committing to that one moment in time. Usually in those auditions, I try to just focus on that one moment in time. Usually walking in, I'm like quite nervous and like, hi. And then as soon as that one moment in time where I have to perform, then I can switch something and commit to that rather than just me walking into a room. But usually just try to lead with just honesty and not try to force anything. I try. Sure. It doesn't always happen. I try.
Yeah. But you only have to get it right once, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to keep it. Yes. But as far as booking a role or booking a job, you got to show up to hundreds or thousands or whatever, but you only got to get it right once to book that role. So I love that about being in the moment. Okay. So you started, you stopped, you're about to start again with Prince of Egypt. Tell us a little bit about that experience. Once again, I love to use this podcast to relate it to fitness, to life. That had to have been tough. It had to have been tough to have started and then had to stop, and just walk us through that a little bit. And it won't be too much of a downer because we know that July 1st, you'll be coming back and you're starting audition rehearsal soon in June. So that's exciting. So relive that a little bit for us about what happened. Cause here at the States, we're not as familiar.
I mean, it was generally the experience of it was great. We had just finished rehearsals. We were getting into cover rehearsals. We actually had a really exciting week the week before because we don't know if it was Corona, but so many people were getting ill that we had all the covers on early. So we were in the momentum of just still, there was a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz around the show. And considering how big the team are, everyone really got on really well, which is amazing. And then I think we came in for the show on the Monday and we just finished warm up and all of a sudden there was everybody on stage, like backstage, everyone. They were like, oh, okay, so see you never, and cut to a year later. But we had like several times where we were supposed to come back in September, then January, then March. And because correct me if I'm wrong, on Broadway, they just said spring or summer next year. When it first started, am I right?
When it first started, they thought it would be like a couple of weeks, and then they said, "Oh yeah, you know, spring." Oh, yeah. And then they're like, "Oh no, it's going to be actually fall of 20." I think they did like two or three "quote unquote" like fake return dates, and then here we are now, about to come back in the fall of 2021.
Yeah. I mean, so it sounds better than the journey we had. I think they thought it was going to be 2 weeks often.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a delay as well. Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a little bit of delay, everyone that's listening. But once again, when I do these episodes, I'm just always, because I'm not technologically savvy, I'm always amazed like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I'm in America talking to someone in the UK over a video conference. But going back to the like every 2 weeks thing, y'all were doing a lot better job than us. That's why for us, we probably weren't saying like, oh, maybe every 2 weeks, because it seemed very hopeless. But y'all were close a couple of times and even did come back temporarily.
Yeah, it did happen. I don't know if that was better, though. I think it just got people like continuously on edge. Like, yeah. And rather than just going, okay, I've got this time. That's one thing I was kind of like grateful for, and I made sure I stayed grateful for, is that we always say, especially when we're on the hustle of this business, that, oh, I've just got no time. I've got no time to do whatever you want to do. And all of a sudden we were just given all this time. So for the first few months, I was going hard. Like, I started running. I don't run, but I started running. Like, I was like, oh, this I had had this time to do these, try these things that I hadn't tried, or look into things that I wanted to experiment with. And yeah, that's one thing I tried to like hang on to. But I think the stop start thing kind of really affected everyone slightly differently.
Sure. Now that you're prepping to go back to rehearsals, how have you been? Have you been prepping? Are you getting back to the running, or what have you been doing to get ready?
Our gym's opened like 4 weeks ago, so I've been going to the gym, which is good. I love a spin bike, love a spin. Yeah. I did aerial yoga today, so that was fun.
There you go.
But mostly because we've literally been kind of locked down until recently. I've seen quite a few of the Prince of Egypt team. We were actually having regular meetings with our producers, who have been amazing during this time. When George Floyd died and the Black Lives Matter protests came out, a lot of things about the lack of diversity in theatre over here came up. And our producers straight off the bat just set up a regular meeting at the beginning of it, a weekly meeting, to try and change this backstage and change this within the company, which was great for us, and just great to be on the side of these producers during this period of time. We had another meeting today. I saw a couple of them yesterday who are starting new businesses in during COVID. So just getting in touch with seeing people before we have to get them rehearsals, I think.
What were a couple of the actionable steps that the producing team, you know, brought up to help in this fight and stand for diversity?
Well, they've, Neil Laidlaw has been invaluable to helping me produce this project and giving me advice and mentoring me, which is incredible, because we do not have many producers or female producers of colour within the UK on commercial theatre. So he's been amazing. They started apprenticeships. When we go back, they put into place apprenticeships to get people from diverse backgrounds and low economic backgrounds to introduce them to the world that is behind stage, because like myself, I've lived in London most of my life, and I've, up until I was 16, I think I'd seen one show. Before I'd started in theatre, I'd seen a handful. They're to try and bridge that gap. They're like trying to get, and they're paid apprenticeships it's unpaid, people aren't going to be able to afford to even be there. But they've done that. Like unconscious bias tests are going to be a part of the team, and handbooks to the ethos of the company and what is acceptable and what is not. And they're hoping to try out different things and roll them out to other shows and other producing teams on the West End to try and make this a common thread and really hopefully improve it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. 'Cause over here we're having the same discussions, but, As a fitness coach, as a coach, I'm always big on like talking is one thing and doing is another. So
yeah,
I was curious as to what the specifics were and the actions being taken. And that's awesome to hear that like they're actually putting feet on the ground and doing stuff right now. So that's awesome. What, maybe the delay is happening. Are you there?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay. For everyone that's listening that might not be as familiar with Prince of Egypt, I had mentioned beforehand that one of our Bill for the Stage clients, Jacob Dickey, was Moses in the production at Tuacon in Utah in 2018. So this production has been kind of like in the works and evolving for a while. Can you give us just a little backstory about it, and then your role, Nefertari, as well, for anyone that's listening that might not be familiar with the show?
So Prince of Egypt is it's based on the film, the animated series by DreamWorks, the same writers, which incredibly, and it's about the relationship Well, our show takes a stance on the relationship between Ramesses and Moses and their brotherly love, as well as Moses' introduction into the Midian world and Sephora and him being able to free the slaves that they, his family, his adopted family, had put in place. He was originally put in a basket and sent to be saved when the Pharaoh at the time wanted to kill all the newborn boys. And he was saved by the Pharaoh's wife, who then raised them up as raised him as her son, along with Ramesses, her biological son. And Nefertari is Ramesses' wife. They don't particularly want to get married. It's a royalty marriage to create more ownership over certain pieces of land, and she's doing it for her family and to put her family back on top, and he's doing it out of necessity. And I think that comes together a bit more when the whole when the plagues come in together and the relationship between Moses and Ramesses break down. They find a closeness, and I don't know if I can tell like the whole story. I mean, I'm sure many people have seen the film or know the story, but yeah.
But I just go ahead.
But no, I've thoroughly enjoyed playing Nefertari. She's bougie in my way, but she's very bougie. She knows what she wants. She's very direct. But she does have a heart. She's just very focused.
What's one of your favorite parts of the show to play as the character?
One of my favorite and the worst is my entrance, because to be fair, I thought that the costumes are incredible. I get to wear some really good costumes to the point that most of the time I'm just walking around, shuffling around the stage, which is lovely. But the entrance, I come up up from the bottom of the stage, and I'm walking along people's backs, and it's one of those times that I'm never going to have that in life. No one's ever going to lay their body on the floor for me to walk over. And though I really hate it, it does make me feel like a queen at that time. And I get to be rude to Ramesses, who in real life I love, but it's great. It's great fun.
Do the cast members that you're stepping on, do they give you a hard time or joke around with you at all?
They don't. I think because I felt so bad when I originally had to do it, they've been really nice to me. I mean, now we go back, it might all change.
Right. Exactly. Well, I have had, it's been a pleasure getting to know you a bit and having you on the episode, and I'm super inspired. I'm sure everyone else listening is too, that, you know, I think that was cool. Like what your friend did for you, that was like, hey, produce it, go ahead, like make it happen. And you were kind of put on the spot of like, okay. And sometimes it's just about it's just about jumping, you know? And I think that a lot of us during these tough times of 2020 and 2021 has just been about taking an uncertain step and just figuring it out as we go. And I think that's super inspiring. So congrats to you. Not only have you done all that, but you've also been in an Old Spice commercial. So like kudos to you. I had to sneak that in there. We talked about it a little bit beforehand, but maybe I'll put the YouTube link up in the description of the episode. You can look at Tanisha wearing a Buffalo Bills NFL jersey in an Old Spice commercial filmed in Barcelona. So who would have thought?
Two English actors in Barcelona filming an Old Spice commercial for the US. Random.
The things you just don't know when you're watching cable television. All right, Tanisha, thanks so much for being on the episode with us.
Thank you. I've had fun.
All right, everyone, that was Tanisha L. Spring. If you want to learn more about Tanisha, just check out the description of this episode. We'll have her Instagram handle in there, maybe that YouTube link I just talked about, and all things Tanisha to be able to get to know her a little bit better. Again, if you want to try that free trial of Built for the Stage, go to builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of the episode. All right, this is Joe Roscoe signing off. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical, Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.